Well, this morning, for a little while, we're going to think about the cross. And to do that, we're going to turn to another passage in the Bible, Romans and chapter 5. Paul's letter, the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the church in Rome. And we're going to look at chapter 5. If you have a Bible and you want to turn it, it'd probably be helpful too, if you can. That is on page 1002. 1002 in the church Bible. And you should have a sheet. You should have been given a sheet on the way in, which will give you the outline of what I'm going to say and show you that we're going to look at Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 10. So let me just read those verses. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 10. Paul writes, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." So it's Good Friday, and that brings us to the heart of the Bible's message, because it brings us to the cross. If you don't understand the cross, you don't understand Christianity. You don't understand the Bible's message, because this is why Jesus came into the world. This is what he'd been anticipating for the 33 years of his life. This is what he'd been telling his disciples he is heading for. He's come into the world to die. So we all know the Christmas story. God has come into the world. Emmanuel, God with us. That in the mystery of the incarnation, we have in Jesus Christ one who is truly man and truly God. God has come. And why has he come? He's come to die. Verse 10 of our passage says, "If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son." God, the Son of God, has come to the die. It's the greatest, most significant event in all of history. It is at the same time the most awful event and yet the most wonderful event in all of history. And so, just for a little while this morning, I want us to use these words of the Apostle Paul to consider, you'll see from the sheet, three things about the cross. The need for the cross, the motivation behind the cross, and then the purpose of the cross. So first of all, the need for the cross. First thing that this verse makes abundantly clear is that the cross is for us. So we're not just spectators. The Bible's saying you and I are not just sort of spectators looking on to something that we're not really, you know, it's just a little bit of history that we can, you know. This is for us, okay? This is for us. Look at verse 8. "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." This is the clear teaching of this passage and the whole of the Bible, that all this is happening, all this is done for us. So when we think about the need for the cross, we must understand that it is us who need the cross. I'm telling you this morning, you need the cross. I need the cross. You might say, well, why do I need the cross? You might be thinking that even as I say those words. You might ask, why do I need the cross? Well, the answer from this passage and the answer from the Bible is, you and I need the cross because of who we are and what we are and what we've done. I wonder how you would describe yourself. If you were, you know, sometimes you go to these things, don't they? Say, describe yourself in four words. It's terrible, isn't it, to have to try and do that sort of thing. Icebreakers or something. And how would you describe yourself? Well, how would you describe yourself morally? Often people say, don't they? Well, often people say to me, well, I'm not perfect. I know that. Which really is a way of saying I'm not really that bad. You know, I'm not perfect, but I'm not as bad as some people I know. Well, at the risk of upsetting you this morning, I want to point out to you how Paul describes us in these verses, okay? He includes himself, as you can see, and he is, of course, writing to a group of people in Rome in the first century. But the Bible makes clear this is me and you as well. And Paul uses four words in this to describe us and describe then why you and I need the cross. Look at verse 6. He says, first of all, in verse 6, he describes us as being without strength. And then at the end of that verse, ungodly. And then if you go down to verse 8, while we were still sinners. And then verse 10, when we were enemies. Without strength, ungodly, sinners, enemies. Not a very flattering description, is it? Now let's just take a moment to think through those things. So first of all, without strength. But Paul says in verse 6, when we were still without strength. That means powerless. Now you might say to me, well actually Hugh, I feel quite strong. I'm all right. Maybe you are fairly strong physically or mentally, although it won't last for very long. But the Bible says, when it comes to making our way to heaven, when it comes to dealing with your sin, when it comes to getting yourself right with God, you and I are without strength. We are powerless. We are helpless. We cannot possibly do it. Do you think God would have sent his son to die on the cross if we had the strength and ability to save ourselves? We need the cross because we're without strength. You need the cross because you are powerless to deal with your sin and get yourself to heaven. So am I. But it gets worse, because how does Paul describe us at the end of the verse? Ungodly. That's not a very nice word, is it? What does that mean? Well, first of all, it means unlike God. Okay? So what's God like? Well, God is good and holy, perfectly holy. He's perfectly true. He's absolutely just. He does what's right, and he loves what's right, always. And if we're honest, you and I are not like that. We may be able to do some, we may do sometimes some good things, some noble things, but our lives are full of unkind words and self-centered ways. And we're not really like God at all. But ungodly also means not just that you're not like God, it also means that you don't want God. You want to be God of your own life. You want God out of the way. If you could take God and get rid of him, you would. If you could nail him to a cross, you would. That's been the condition of men and women ever since Adam and Eve rebelled against God and said, and listened to Satan saying, you could be gods yourself. But then there's another word. And it's the word in verse 8, sinners. While we were still sinners. Now, what is sin? I wonder if you would say, what's sin? How would you answer that? Well, it's breaking God's law. So God made us. He made this world. He put us in it. He gave us all these good, wonderful things to enjoy. But he made some rules, didn't he? And the two chief rules are we should love him with all our hearts and we should love one another. Have you done that? Have you loved God with all your heart? Have you loved other people as much as yourself? Well, I certainly haven't, and the Bible says none of us have. We're sinners. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. You see, God is just. He must punish sin. He can't just pretend sin doesn't matter. He's angry with sin. These verses speak about God's wrath, his righteous anger against sin. Sin has to be dealt with. That's why you need the cross. That's why I need the cross, because you and I are sinners, and our sin is serious, and our sin needs to be dealt with. There's one more word, and it's the word enemies in verse 10. If when we were enemies. So that means, okay, so you know, if you say, if I was to say to you, have you got any enemies? I wonder how you would answer that. Well, the Bible says, if we're not Christians, God is our enemy. We're enemies with God. We're fighting God. We're rebels against God. I mean, that's serious, isn't it? Now you say, Hugh, this is a bit serious this morning, isn't it? This is a bit. I thought this was supposed to be Good Friday. Well, you see, if we're going to understand the cross and if we're going to see our need of the cross, we need to understand this. Why we need the cross? If we're going to rejoice in the cross, then we need to understand how much we need the cross and what was happening at the cross. So I'm going to ask you I'm going to ask you this morning, then, have you ever come to recognize this description of yourself? Have you come to recognize, actually, I am ungodly. I am a sinner. I've been an enemy of God. I've been fighting God. And I haven't got any strength to save myself. I mean, it's quite a moment to come to. Lots of people think that Christians are people who think they're good. Actually, true Christians is the opposite of that. We've come to see that we're not good. We're ungodly and enemies and rebels. And we need a savior. That's why we need the cross. And that's why Jesus has gone to the cross. Because he's gone there for us in our place, to take our place. You see, Jesus was ready to take the punishment in our place. God the Father was ready to punish his Son in our place. Jesus hadn't done anything wrong. He's never sinned. All those descriptions that are true of us were never true of him. So he doesn't deserve to die, and he doesn't deserve God's wrath. But he says, I will take their place. I will stand in their place. I will take their punishment. And that's what was happening at the cross. In the blackness, in the darkness, as Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? As we read earlier on, he is taking the punishment in our place for our sins. The need for the cross. My prayer is this morning that every one of us will see we need the cross. I need the cross. You need the cross. Second heading, the motivation behind the cross. So the next question, why has God done this? What motivated him to do such a thing? I mean, in the light of what we've considered about ourselves, why would Jesus die for us? Why would God the Father send his Son to the cross? I mean, after all, as Paul says in verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, you know. But yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But we've seen righteous and good are not words that Paul's used of us, is it? Why? The answer's clear, isn't it, in this passage? We're not left in any doubt about it. The motivation behind the cross is the love of God. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ die for us. Here's one thing then that the cross is shouting out. It's shouting out love. God is saying to us and to this sad, sorry, needy world, I love you. I mean, that's the Bible's message. The Bible tells us all sorts of things about God, things we need to know, that he's holy and he's triune. He's the God who's one and yet three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It tells us he's eternal and he's awesome, but it tells us he's love. He's a God of love, and God's love is supremely shown in the cross. The Bible tells us God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So Paul tells us a little bit about what this love is like, what God's love is like. You'll see on the sheet there's four things. God's love comes first. The Bible makes that very clear. We love him because he first loved us. If you find this morning in your heart love for God, love for Jesus, it's because God first loved you. And that comes out in these verses, doesn't it? When we were still without strength, verse 6. While we were still sinners, verse 8. When we were enemies. That's speaking about when God loved us. It was before we ever loved him, before we were, when we were miles away, when we had no thought or interest, he loved us. Sometimes when you meet a couple and you talk to them, you ask how they met, and if you're a bit more nosy like me, you ask a bit more detail, you know, was one... How did you get together? And sometimes you discover one was interested in the other for a long time first, and the other one wasn't interested at all. And you can say, well, it's a bit like that with this, isn't it? We discover that God loved us before we were ever interested in him. When we were enemies. God's love is first. The whole motivation for the gospel, the whole motivation for the cross, the whole plan of the salvation, it all begins with God, and it begins with his love. God's love is surprising. That comes out in that word but at the beginning of verse 8. Yes, you know, perhaps for a good, nice person, someone might just about be prepared to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, this is the most surprising thing in all the universe. I mean, if you don't look at the cross and think, this is staggering. If you're not surprised by the cross, you've never understood it. It is the most surprising thing that God should love his enemies, that God should love rebels. There's no more staggering sight in all the universe than the cross. God's love is proven. It says God demonstrates his own love. So he hasn't just told us he loves us. He hasn't just sung us a love song. He's shown his love. He's proved it. He's demonstrated it. He says, look at the cross. I love you. There it's seen. There's no doubt about it. No one can question it. God loves this world. God loves sinners. And God's love is shown in many ways. This beautiful day is an indication of God's love and God's goodness, but supremely it is seen in the cross and as Jesus stands in our place and dies for us. And then one last thing about God's love, it's just and righteous. So God's love doesn't just mean he sort of winks at our sin and says, you know, never mind, we'll just sweep it under the carpet, no one will know, and that God suddenly becomes unconcerned about sin. No, no. See, God's love is shaped by his whole character. It's shaped by the fact that he's also holy and pure. He can't just say sin doesn't matter. It does. So God's love is a just love. So when we look at the cross, we look at the cross and we say, look how holy God is. Look how just God is. Look how serious sin is. That God must punish his son. But then we also look at the cross and we say, look how loving God is. Because here at the cross, God's love and his justice meet. They come together. God's justice is satisfied and in the sacrifice of his son, but his love is seen so that he can be just and yet justify the one who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that takes us to our final point, which is the purpose of the cross. So we've seen the need for the cross because of who we are. We've seen the motivation behind the cross, who God is, the God of love and mercy. And we say, well, okay, what's the purpose of the cross? What's the cross accomplish? Well, I want you to see that Paul used, there's two words that in this section that I wanted to look at as we think about the purpose of the cross. Those two words are justified in verse 9 and reconciled in verse 10. The purpose of the cross then is that we might be justified by God and reconciled to God. Let's just think about that for a moment before we finish. First of all, justified. It says there in verse 9, much more than having now been justified by his blood. What does justified mean? Perhaps you hear this one, you know, whatever that means. Well, the Greek word that Paul uses is a word, a legal word from the law court. And it takes us into the courtroom and it places us in the dock, awaiting the verdict on your life. How are you feeling about that? Only there are two problems. The first is the judge is God. The righteous God, whose standard is perfection, who knows everything about you and all the details of your life. The second problem is that you're guilty. We've seen that. But to be justified, listen to this, means to be declared not guilty. To be declared righteous in the eyes of the law. And you know, that's what God does to all who come to him in repentance and trust in his son. He declares us not guilty. He declares that we're righteous in his sight and in the eyes of the law. It's a once forever declaration. Not guilty, righteous, justified. And we say, well, how can God do that and remain a just judge? And we say, he can do that because of the cross. Because our sin has been punished. Justice has been done. But Jesus has taken our punishment. He's stood in our place. He's borne God's wrath. So that God remains just and yet can justify sinners like us. Isn't that amazing? What a wonderful position to be in this morning. That if you come to Jesus Christ and trust in him, you can be forgiven. Not guilty. All that condemnation and judgment dealt with in Jesus Christ. Now, why wouldn't you want to know that? That's the purpose of the cross. To make a way by which guilty sinners can be forgiven and declared not guilty. But then there's this other word, reconcile. Verse 10, look at verse 10. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. So again, this is through the death of Christ. What's the purpose? Reconciliation. Now you children know what reconciliation is, although you might not be able to spell it and you might not know what that word means. Reconciliation means being put right with somebody, being made friends again. So we've seen, haven't we? What are we? We're enemies of God. We say, well, that's terrible. That's serious. What's going to happen when I die if I'm an enemy of God's? I need to be reconciled to God. That's what the cross does. Because as we come and as we trust in Jesus Christ, our sin is put away. Everything that stops us knowing God and makes us makes God angry with us is dealt with. And we come back to God and we're friends with God. That's why God made you in the first place. Do you know that? To know him and love him and not just live in this world as if he didn't exist, but to live in this world with him and then go to be with him one day and then come back with him when he comes again to put everything right. And that's the purpose of the cross, reconciliation. That means everything dealt with between us and God, nothing between us anymore, complete oneness. We sometimes speak about the cross as the atonement, at-one-ment, that we are made one with God through the death of Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of the cross. If you like, justification deals with our standing before God as our judge. Reconciliation deals with our relationship with God as our Father. And both are dealt with in the cross. And so what's the message of the Bible? The message of the Bible is this. God opens his arms and says, be reconciled to me. Be reconciled. Come to me. Acknowledge that what I say about you in my word is true. That you are a sinner. Recognize it's serious. Recognize what I've done to put it right. And come in repentance and faith and trust in me. And know the joy of being justified and being reconciled to God. That's the message of the cross. That's what I want you to go away understanding and knowing and believing with all your heart. God says, come and you will find forgiveness and pardon and peace.